Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
All the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No.
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France, merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants, je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new Off the Ball podcast called Word on the Street. I'm Susanna.
And I'm Eve.
And every week we're going to be taking a sporting event, a sporting topic, something that's all over the headlines, and we're going to be taking it to the public and seeing what they think.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So our very first topic, it couldn't be anything other than Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. So you're very welcome along to episode one of Word on the Street, and we're calling it the McIlroy effect.
I feel like it really has been just everybody's been talking about it for this past couple of weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Like the week after he won, there was nothing else on Off the Ball. Like Brona can tell you, I think she sat through about 10 hours of Golf Weekly on the Monday after the Masters. Like it was just everywhere. But what's crazy and what we're going to touch on today is that it infected people that potentially normally have never had an interest in golf.
Yeah, I feel like every year when the Masters rolls around, you get more people watching than, you know, I mean, any major in any sport, it's going to attract more people than kind of your average PGA event. But I feel like this Masters and what Rory McIlroy kind of did, it touched so many more people than just your average golf fan or your part-time golf fan. And that has to do, obviously, with the big long wait since his last major. But it speaks as well, I think, to just how impactful he is in the Irish sporting landscape and further afield.
And you watched a lot of golf before this.
I would watch. I'm one of those part-time golf fans. I watch my majors. I watch the Ryder Cup, me and my mum. But even, I mean, I think I was saying to you earlier, me and my mum were watching that so stressed, having heart attacks. And my father, who doesn't usually watch golf, he was watching it as well, you know, and having those similar heart-in-mouth moments on the 18th. And then again, when the playoff was, or the final hole was being played. I mean, it's something that even if you don't know the rules, I think, of golf, you could get involved with and you could understand what was at stake, because it's a very human story, Rory's story. And I think that's why people got so engaged.
Yeah, no, I was the same. Like, I have never in my life watched a golf tournament. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to put it out there and say I'm a major golf fan. I was glued to that TV and I couldn't sit. I actually got up off the couch about 10 times. I was texting my boyfriend who wasn't there. And the messages were in all capital letters begging him to reply, because my heart was just, I was so stressed that I couldn't sit there by myself. And I was like, I need to talk to somebody about this because it's so overwhelming. And ever since then, I feel like I'm on the golf bus. I was telling you earlier, I've been to the driving range. I've been twice, tried to go a third time. It was booked out. Like, there was a 20-minute wait for the bays, which just shows it's not just me. I met one of my best girlfriends there. She'd never before picked up a club. Yeah. There we were, both of the driving range. I've been to the pitch and putt. Like, it's actually inspiring.
It is, because I feel like when you watch something like golf, it's a very solitary sport. It's something that, you know, that's why they say the mental aspect of it is so important. At the end of the day, it's one player there and there's one ball and there's one hole. But the Masters was such a community. It felt like such a community event. You know, people were watching it together. People were texting each other about it. And you want to go out and you want to, you know, it's if there's nice weather, you want to go to these driving ranges, you want to go to these golf courses. So I feel like something like the Masters and something like what we have just seen with Rory, it breeds this kind of community spirit maybe around golf. It makes people want to go out and get involved. People who, you know, as I said, as you kind of said, maybe never had an interest before. And that's why you're seeing, yeah, the lines might be annoying, but it's such a good sign.
Yeah, and this was something we basically took to the streets and took to the public because, well, I and you wanted to know, is this what everyone's feeling, or is it just us being surrounded by, you know, sports fans day in and day out and everyone talking about it? But it turns out it is a wider effect, isn't it?
We're not in an echo chamber. People have been noticing this.
Yeah, 100%. So these are two lads we chatted to on the street, just in the line for Bambino's, actually. Yeah. They're queuing for their pizza. They don't play golf.
they don't play golf. They're not kind of golf heads. They're not even part-time golf fans. They're freelance golf fans.
Absolutely. And this is what they had to say anyway.
Were you watching it?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Stressful?
Oh, very much so, very much so.
So have you noticed, I guess, being fans of golf, that people are getting more invested now after such a big victory?
I think so, definitely. Yeah, everyone's Instagram had Rory McIlroy, like the most random people.
The coverage was like going way bigger.
Our group show was going crazy.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
What were people saying?
I think it was the usual lads who actually play golf and know what they're on about.
Yeah.
As well as the lads who like didn't have a clue, which is, I think, the sign that like people are behind them.
That stuff on the Instagram and the WhatsApp groups, I don't know if it was just me, but it was the absolute, like, the same. Everybody's story had that iconic photo of Rory McIlroy after he putted that final hole.
Yeah, on his knees, that kind of, that image is such a striking one. I mean, there are people on my Instagram who I've not seen post in years, and they had that image on their story. I mean, I did it myself. You know, it's obviously one aspect of it is that we're Irish and we get very excited when an Irish person does well in anything. And when it's just something on this scale, of course it was going to excite people. But for, I mean, it's something that me and you both noticed, people on that we were talking to on the street noticed, that it wasn't just, even just your sports fans. Everybody was watching this and wanted to post about it, wanted to kind of feel involved, I suppose, in his victory, which again is a very Irish thing. You know, somebody does well and we all want to kind of get involved and feel like that we're along with him for the ride, which is a lot of what McIlroy's career has been about, I think, like I feel.
Yeah, and I think that's what you said there is key. Like, it's not necessarily sports fans.
No, it's I think people who like a good story, and that's what McIlroy provided that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And we chatted to someone at, what was it called, Sigmoid?
Sigmoid Golf in the city centre.
Yeah, great place.
Fabulous.
A very cool thing to do with mates. I'm absolutely going to go back there. It was basically, sorry for the listeners who weren't there, it was basically a simulation driving range.
Yeah, kind of high-tech computers.
Yeah, and you can play pitch and putt there. You can play make-believe, real courses. You can just go practice your swing. We were chatting to a lovely lad who was just there on a work break who was practicing his swing. And basically, one of the guys who works there, we asked him, you know, where was he when he was watching the Masters? How did he feel? Does he feel like he's like experienced this similar effect? Or is it just kind of, you know, he's already in a golf community, but did he feel like it was spreading outside of that?
I would say so, yeah, because even when I was watching the Masters, I watched it with a few people that had no real interest in golf, and they were absolutely glued to it for the whole day. And I think they also kind of might have lent them towards giving it a go or just picking up the club and being like, oh, might give this a go. So I definitely think it's a good thing. There's definitely positive coming out of it, for sure.
That's what's really interesting. It's that line of like, I think it lent them to picking up a club and giving it a go.
Yeah, because he's someone who's involved in, I suppose, the industry. You know, he works for a golf company. And so it's not just people, you know, wanting to get involved on Instagram. There's actual tangible change happening. There's people, first timers going, picking. I mean, you yourself going and picking up a club, maybe if you've never done that before, and kind of learning how. It's people who maybe never would have done that before, even though, you know, golf tournaments are shown on TV every few months. This really just captured a kind of a vital moment in time, maybe. And yeah, I mean, Rob, the guy we were chatting to, not only, you know, does he see that, I suppose, in his own personal life, his own friends are getting involved, but people coming into his place. And it was, you know, it's really fun. It's something that you can do on your own. It's something you can do with friends. And yeah, it's really encouraging, I think, to see.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Like, obviously, my story was kind of just me, myself, and I. And I was one, and that one girlfriend that I met at the driving range. But I was wondering, you know, has this extended beyond me and my friend group, or us here and off the ball? And obviously, speaking to him, he's just one other example, but it seems like it has. And what's so interesting about Sigmoid and those kind of simulation places popping up all over the city is that they're really accessible. And that's something that kind of stood out to you as well, isn't it? That, like, you don't have to be a member of a golf club anymore to go and give it a go. And for, you know, those people who watched McIlroy and suddenly thought, well, maybe I want to try that, they don't have to trek out to somewhere and pay whatever it is to play a round of golf, which is extremely difficult as well. You wouldn't want your first go to be a full 18 holes, really. But they can just go along to one of these places, have a bit of crack, bring their own wine or beer if they want to, and turn it into a really enjoyable event.
Yeah. I mean, my first experience with golf was kind of exactly that. It was a pitch and putt, but it was a full 18 holes and so stressful. Nightmare. I didn't do very well. Whereas I feel like having something like Sigmoid or any of these, like there's one, a new place on Dawson Street called Pitch, you know, and that's something where, you know, people can bring in drink or people can buy drinks there as well. It's very social, but it's so much more accessible. Like the amount of people that go on their lunch breaks from work, you know, that's something that you can't do if you have to trek all the way out to a full golf course. You know, maybe you don't have a car either. People can come into the city centre and use these spaces. And having golf be more accessible in that manner, that's exactly what the sport needs. It's exactly what any sport needs. I mean, if you look at something like football, like it's the easiest sport in the world to play anywhere and anytime, you know, whereas something like golf, it's very specific, you know, it's, and it can be very expensive. And I think there's, and maybe it's an unfair stereotype, but it's seen, I think, classically as this sport for kind of retired old men who have time on their hands and who want to go out, and that's where they get their social activity at the weekend. But seeing more and more young people, I think, access this, that was great. Because I think seeing young people and teenagers doing sport, you know, getting involved in sports anytime is a positive. But being able to do it in the city centre relatively inexpensively, that was really special, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you chatted to one of the pros who works in Sigmoid, right?
Yeah, so Dave Carney, he's a PGA pro and he coaches anything from kind of nearly semi-professionals to kind of complete beginners. He's involved with founding Sigmoid. So I chatted to him kind of about the demographics of the people he's seen in the past 2 weeks alone coming and starting beginner lessons.
But it is a game for everybody. You know, we have families coming together, and, you know, the lovely thing about it is that I think people don't realise about golf is you can go out and have a very low standard of play, but you can play a game of golf with your pals. You know, even you can pick up the game and take a hole or two off and just chat with your pals and then play another hole or two. It's like, it's all inclusive and it's what it needs to be for everybody. So basically you don't have to be at a certain standard before you're accepted within the game, contrary to maybe what the popular belief was at 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that you had to have a golf handicap, you had to wear these clothes and you had to be this good to be able to play. Whereas now it's almost like kind of skiing in a way that you can kind of have a go and, you know, come out and people will look after you and make you feel comfortable and entertained and challenged as well. It's a great challenge. So I would say, to answer your question, we're getting everything from, you know, younger boys that they've kind of, younger girls in particular that have maybe, so boys and girls 14, 15 that have asked their parents, could they give it a try? That's been a popular one. And then people that are maybe, as I said, living in the city, see indoor golf particularly as a way of saying, I wonder, could I try this for a while and see if I could take to it, because it's very convenient time-wise, so I could see if I actually could enjoy it. And if I could enjoy it, then I'll make the bigger commitment to perhaps organising a game outside of, onto one of the golf courses with some pals, you know?
Interesting. So he says he's seen a lot more young boys and girls taking up golf lessons. And is that in these past 2 weeks since McIlroy's victory, or is that kind of in general?
Yeah, I think he said that in general, yes, there's more boys and girls, but it's specifically in the past 2 weeks. He's seeing teenage boys and teenage girls, 14, 15 years old, coming in either with their parents or with their friends and wanting to learn, like complete beginners getting involved. And I think that is so special, because you see, you know, time and time again, 14 or 15 years old, that's when specifically girls stop sports. And it's, how do you get people involved again? How do you, I think that the real question people ask is, how do we make sure people continue, make these teenagers continue in their sport? Very rarely is the question asked, what can we get people to start? What can these teenagers start playing? And it seems to be now that golf is it's filling that kind of void. It's answering that question. I think we see so many Irish sporting role models, but everyone kind of focuses on their impact on young children. I mean, the best example, I think, in recent times is Rashida Adeleke. And you see the little girls on the running courses and they're wearing the bow in their hair like she does. And that's incredible and so important. But you're not probably going to take up 400 meter running when you're 15 years old and you're in school, or you're doing exams or anything. So something like going to a virtual driving range, something like going out with your friends to a pitch and putt course or a golf course, and knowing that we're seeing an uptake in that kind of teenage demographic. I mean, that's incredible. That's such a positive sign of the McIlroy effect, as we call it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's similar with Katie Taylor. We were talking the other day about how, you know, her incredible success in boxing on a world stage has done incredible things for the sport in Ireland. Yeah. And similarly, that probably is maybe at a younger age. I mean, a lot of people can take up boxing at any age, to be fair, but maybe not competitively or at that like high level. Whereas with this, if McIlroy has the same effect on golf as Katie had on boxing, this is something that can be done at any age.
Yeah.
Which is really quite incredible. Like from kids who go out and suddenly this is their new sport, from teenagers who want to go down with their parents, from our age who want to go with our mates and have a go hitting the thing against the wall or playing around a pitch and putt for the crack, or adults in their 50s, 60s and older. Like my mum now wants to take up golf.
Aww.
Now she always has played a little bit here and there, but she was mad at me for using her golf clubs the other day when I went to play pitch and putt, even though she hasn't touched them in, I'd say, 20 years. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're precious cargo because, well, she wants to play golf too. So it's really something that's spreading across all ages and all demographics.
And it's that generational thing, which I think is so special about golf. This got replayed a lot during the Masters coverage. It was the Nike, I think it was a Nike commercial about 10 years ago that showed it showed a young lad playing a young Rory McIlroy looking up to Tiger Woods. And it had, you know, scenes of McIlroy in his mum's kitchen chipping a golf club into the washing machine. And it's this really poignant, beautiful ad. And you kind of think, there's young kids now. And Rory McIlroy, for the past 10 years, more, 15 years during his career, has been that person for them. And now seeing him do a career, like win a career Grand Slam, I mean, that touches every generation. Like, it's not just these young kids who look up to Rory like Rory looked up to Tiger. It's people across gender lines, age lines. Everybody got behind Rory last week. And we can see there's tangible impacts. People are going, stealing their mother's golf clubs and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's even more interesting is that it doesn't seem to be just Ireland.
No, it's everywhere.
Which, that really was shocking to me. So out and about today, obviously, we expected to meet mostly Irish people. We're in smack bam in the centre of Dublin. But as it would be, the first person we chat to is Swedish.
Yes, and he had some really interesting insights into not only, obviously, he was a golf fan himself, he knew plenty about Irish golf, but into Swedish golf as well. He had fascinating insights.
Yeah, absolutely. First, let's get his thoughts on Rory McIlroy, full stop.
Swedish people love Rory McIlroy. As everyone does.
Yeah, you say that, but like, why? Because I think in Ireland we love him because he's Irish and he's been through such a struggle.
Yeah.
And we love to see him succeed now because it's taken him so much. But what is it in Sweden? What do people love about him?
I think that's one thing. I mean, the story that resonates with everyone. I mean, you don't have to be Irish to like resonate with that story and the struggle that he have had for so many years. Because, I mean, golf is a struggle. And also, he's just like, he's a very good golf player. It's just fun to watch him. I mean, there's always hard to neglect someone that's really, really good at what they're doing, so.
I mean, he kind of summed it up perfectly there, didn't he?
Yeah, really nice encapsulation. Really good.
It was the fact that he started, when we first asked him about McIlroy, he went, Sweden loves McIlroy.
that guy was great, because he said, I don't really know if I'll be able to talk about Rory. I don't really know. And then we put a microphone in front of his face. And yeah, Sweden loves Rory McIlroy.
They do, apparently. And it was just really interesting the way he spoke about the struggle. Because obviously I think we thought that resonated with us because, you know, we've watched Rory pour his heart and soul into this. And even if, like me, you're not a major golf fan, you know who Rory McIlroy is. He is the Irish golfer. Obviously, Shane Lowry, incredible as well. But at the moment, Rory is topping those headlines. And we've watched him go through it and up and down for Ireland. And you felt like this was not just for him, but for all of us who had paid attention to him over the last however many years. But to see that people around the world were resonating with that as well, that really was quite interesting to me.
It speaks to just what a generational player Rory McIlroy is. I think we forget in all these conversations we're having, you know, is Rory McIlroy the greatest Irish sports person of all time? That we sort of forget, not only that, he's one of the greatest golfers that has ever lived. You know, there's only five or six people who have completed a career Grand Slam. And this young kid from Northern Ireland is one of them, yeah. You know? And so I feel like we get in our own echo chamber about it a little bit, so like focusing specifically on an Irish context. But he is such a global icon for the sport. He's done so much for the sport, and I mean, we've seen that people, even if people have opinions on him, they're not always positive, but overwhelmingly they are, because people can appreciate his successes, but because they come after such a long period of a struggle, because that's applicable to everybody's lives.
Yeah.
You know, just because his is so heightened, you know, that it took him 11 years to win something that only six people have ever done, this career Grand Slam. But it's the emotions behind it, I think, that capture people in Ireland, but further seas as well. I think he is a golfing icon, full stop. Not an Irish golfing icon, not like a local golfing icon. He's just a golfing icon.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it even more impressive.
Yeah.
I actually think I'm more impressed now than I was before we started out today, because the fact that you're right, we were in a bit of an echo chamber and we were thinking about it in an Irish context. And now when you speak to people from Sweden and we were speaking to people from Canada and they think he's just as iconic as we do, it actually makes his achievements even more impressive and even more just resounding? I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, because
impactful.
He kind of had the weight of the world quite literally on his shoulders.
Very well put.
Exactly. I mean, there was that moment when he made the putt for that to win his career Grand Slam, and he threw the golf club behind his head, and you could see him exhale, and it really felt like that was his first exhale in 11 years.
Mm.
And it really did feel like that was the weight of the world just falling off his shoulders. And we've seen him being interviewed this week and he's joking around, he's having a really good time. He was chatting with Shane Lowry and they're playing today, they're teeing off soon in the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, and they were joking about their defending champions. They were joking about last year that Shane Lowry was the one who made that winning putt, and Lowry was kind of going, ah, well, it wasn't that long a putt. And Rory goes, I've missed shorter. You know, even the fact that he's able to make those jokes now, you know,
it shows a different side of him.
A different side to him, a more freer side. I mean, it's going to be scary for these other golfers, a Rory McIlroy free from all of these stresses, free from these expectations. He's finished golf. He's won golf.
Yeah.
Basically. Now he is a free man to really just go and play and have fun with it. It's going to be interesting. They tee off in about 10 minutes, so I'm very excited
to watch that. It's kind of what we were saying earlier, like, you know, I think the Open this summer, I think McIlroy will have to double check this, but I think he holds the course record where the Open is being played.
In Portrush, yeah.
And apparently he said it when he was around 16 or 17 years old. And it just shows when he was that age, he was carefree, and he's just, obviously he's putting an incredible amount of hard work into his game and into becoming what he is today. But at the same time, he has an abundance of natural talent and a huge golfing IQ. And when he was 16 or 17, he was able to set a course record of, I think it's like 61 in Portrush. Now that he has rid himself of all the pressures that he accumulated over the years and all that weight on his shoulders that you were talking about, can he go back to playing like he was 16 or 17 years old?
I mean, that's the hope. Because, I mean, when you look at so many sports, we have these people, and Rory was one of them, who are so good so young because their abundance of natural talent, and there's no other stressors. You don't have the weight of, you know, something like what we saw last week with knowing you can complete a career Grand Slam. Younger players often play with that kind of freedom. And that's why, I mean, Rory won his first three Masters so quickly, like on the bounce, one after the other almost. And it's quite an exciting time seeing, can he kind of, knowing that he has nothing left to prove to himself, to the golfing community, to the media, to anybody, he has nothing else to prove. Can he go on now and recapture some of that young 16-year-old energy that, I mean, Portrush is going to be really exciting this year, both for McIlroy and for Lowry, who's won there before. Absolutely. That's going to be exciting.
No, we'll be watching both, sorry. And we're going to circle back to that in a second. But I just want to come back to the McIlroy effect quickly before we move on. What's interesting is that we're obviously seeing in Ireland and we're kind of predicting what we think might happen based on these past couple of weeks. What was very interesting is when we were chatting to the Swede, as we'll call him, unnamed Swede, he spoke about how this kind of happened for them last year with Ludvig. And that was incredibly interesting because it's not something I'd heard before.
I really believe that there will be an effect, or that there is an effect, because comparing to Sweden, we have Ludvig Åberg, which is a very upcoming golf player. And he came second last year on the Masters. I think that had a big effect on Swedish golf in terms of like people watching golf, people want to play golf. First of all, it's been hard to like book a tee time. So there's a lot of people playing golf, and also just like when you're talking about golf, you're talking about Ludvig Åberg, and then you have a connection to him because he's Swedish. I think that has a big effect on every sport, where you have someone that can represent your country, or where you have a connection.
Yeah.
I actually watched the Masters last year also with my girlfriend, and she was like, "Oh, Ludvig," and started becoming, and now she's starting to play a little bit golf.
So that's so interesting. It's almost a mirror of what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And ironically, I mean, Åberg was right up there, that kind of final couple of days of the Masters, and it making us all a bit nervous. Like, could he snatch this victory from Rory's hands? So, yeah, I feel like for Sweden, he is obviously their hope in golf, but it's that, you know, maybe in Sweden they're doing a podcast on whatever the Swedish off the ball is called the Åberg effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that, so that's proof that, you know, it can happen and it has happened. And it makes me more willing and likely to believe that there is going to be a McIlroy effect, and that, you know, we haven't just made this up this morning while brainstorming ideas for this podcast. But what was also interesting is that we kind of wanted to know, is it going to last? Because yes, like anything, when an Irish person does really well in a sporting event, everybody talks about it for like a week or two. And it's the headlines, you know, Brona has to listen to 10 hours of Golf Weekly. But will it actually last beyond those 2 weeks and have a tangible impact on golf? But from chatting to unnamed Swede, it kind of seems like it will based on what happened there.
Yeah, because I feel like over the course of McIlroy's career, so like 15-ish years, say, you know, golf has gotten more popular. He is... been, you know, there has been a steady uptake in people getting involved in golf, but maybe only if you already watched golf. What we're seeing now is people who got involved with the spectacle of the Masters and then complete beginners going and picking up a golf club, and seeing that that was sort of mirrored in Sweden, seeing that it's not only happened but kept happening, and now there's a golf culture maybe developing. That's very exciting. It obviously we'll have to come back in a few months and see if that's still the case. But we're heading into the summer now. People want to be outdoors. People want to be seeing their friends, seeing their mates, going somewhere with their family, going on work trips. And I feel like we are going to see a lot of golf content over the summer.
Yeah, let's have a listen to what he said about the kind of following weeks and months after Ludvig came second in the Masters last year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, based on Sweden, I think so. But then it will always be up and down with golf. I mean, since it's such a hard sport, it's so freaking hard. I think there's always going to be, I mean, times when it really, like a lot of new people start playing, become amateurs, and I mean, it's fun to play, but after a while you really have to put in a lot of time and effort to continue playing. And maybe, I mean, if he continue to win, it will be another wave. Another wave. But overall, I think it like it will accumulate, but it will become these like small waves of people starting playing, and then
cool.
Hopefully like the sport is just growing and growing.
I really liked the way he spoke about waves there, of like, you know, this ripple effect that will keep growing and growing and growing. And it kind of wraps this all up so nicely, because he said it himself. If Rory McIlroy keeps winning, those waves are just going to keep growing.
Yeah.
And more people will take up golf. And even if they don't all stick, because as he said, it's a hard sport.
Yeah.
I've tried it. Can't hit the thing off the ground.
Can't confirm, difficult sport.
very difficult sport, but a few of them will stick.
Yeah.
And a few of them will continue to play. And as we spoke about earlier, this pressure is off his shoulders. We're going to see now how he does today in the Zurich Cup.
Zurich Classic, yep.
Zurich Classic, sorry. And we're going to see how he does next week.
What is, I think, the reason why Rory McIlroy is such a figure that people are going to look up to is because it took him 11 years to win another major and people kept being on his side. People kept supporting him. Yes, his own career was in waves and in fluctuations. And if that's what the future of golf is going to be like, then, you know, it's going to have a happy ending.
Yeah, sorry, Quail Hollow. The start of May. That is the next stop of the PGA Tour, I believe. And yeah, like, I think that's just a perfect way to end the whole McIlroy effect. Like, we've seen him do well. We've seen the effect it's had over 2 weeks. We're going to see now, hopefully, with the pressure off, he continues to do well. And it'll be just really interesting to see whether those waves continue to ripple outwards and golf continues to get more and more popular.
I really hope so.
Yeah, me too. So this has been episode one of Word on the Street, the McIlroy effect. Thank you so much for listening. And we can't wait to be back. I think next week, are you going to give us a hint as to what it is?
Let's just say it's going to be about the Premier League football.
And some heartbreak Eve.
Some heartbreak for me. Although a little bit of, I'm not too sad about it.
All right. Well, we will see you next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.